This is a journey to the intersection of culture and commerce from the Black perspective, where we talk about business, entertainment, relationships, religion, and how our Blackness is depicted and eventually monetized. This is The Business of Black.
Well, Business of Black. This is Stokely.
This is Donald.
And today we have
Bridget Graham.
Oh, come on, Bridget. I need you. Yes. Bridget Graham. Act like you're talking about Forex. Right. Act like you're talking about Forex. Bridget Graham of Organa Canalytics.
You got it right. That's right.
I did it.
See, you did.
Now, last week, I got murdered because I didn't say it quick enough, so I tried to spit it out.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah, you got the right cadence this time.
Right. So, Bridget, we usually start off by, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, your likes, your dislikes, what drives you, and then we'll get into the conversation about the convention.
Okay. Awesome. Well, just to kind of give you a little brief history about where I come from. I come from a really small town, South Georgia, Middle Georgia, actually. And I went to school to become a scientist and ended up working in an environmental chemistry lab and have been there since for about 20 years. And I've also been an event planner for about 12 years. I started off
doing parties.
No, actually, I learned that in my master's program that I was, I always try to figure out why I love to plan people's lives. So, like, if you would just tell me a story in my mind, I'm trying to work it out where I'm trying to figure out how could they make it better, or how could, you know, I'm just mapping your life out, or your trip, or your event, or whatever it is that you're doing. I'm just doing all this in my head. So, when I got my master's in business, I thought to myself, I took a class, project management, and I realized that, oh man, this is awesome. So I joined a wedding ministry at my church, and I served probably about 7 years as a wedding planner, event planner, and just have been doing it on the side for different events. And that's how I got into event planning. And let's see what else. So environmental chemistry, I had a friend that told me that they had a grow facility in Michigan, and which I didn't really know if it was, you know, I was like, no, oh, they're not telling me the truth, but it was real. And I'm talking about medical marijuana, and they said that they were growers. And so I was, of course, being myself, thinking like, wow, wait a minute. I started to look at the science behind it, and it actually is environmental science. That's the same chemistry that is applied in to analytical testing. And what I do for a living, for probably about the last 8 years, I've been in the public health segment. And what we do there is I make sure no one dies from drinking water. So just to kind of sum it up, I'm supervisor over a laboratory.
Thank you.
So have you been involved with what was going on in Flint in any way?
We personally don't, but the people, that's the type of situation, that's the setting that I work in. And because of, I guess, cutting corners and integrity, you have to have integrity in the lab, hands down. Because your people's lives are at stake, and you can't tell people to just go, hey, go change all your plumbing to PVC pipes or whatever. But because you can't do that, technically, I mean, everybody can't afford that.
Right.
And a lot of older homes are in Michigan, and because of the source water, I won't get into technical, but because of some bad decisions and some, they didn't apply this chemical to the water to slow down the oxidation of the pipes in the houses. It caused it to leach out into the water at faster rates. And so they dropped the ball, hands down.
I didn't mean to throw you off. I'm sorry. It was just Michigan, one of those things that came up.
Everybody asked me about Flint, Michigan, but that was their fault. They shouldn't have been there. That's just not, it's not right. that's why they went to jail, I guess. Some of them.
You think they did it on purpose?
No, they didn't do it on purpose. Okay. They just, it was, sometimes it's just ignorance. You don't know. You think you can get by with it. Nobody's getting sick. Oh, it's okay. Mm-mm, you can't do that.
That's foresight. But there's a difference between doing it on purpose and just not caring.
Right.
You know.
I can't speak on that.
Question, but I mean, in regards to where money is spent, you can
attach,
know, what areas matter more than others based on what's maintained and how it's maintained.
And because they don't, they may not have the funding, like a lot of small towns, think about the small towns in rural areas or what have you, they might not have the funds that a larger city would have in order to, you know, to treat or to do extra things with, or, you know, to make those tough calls or whatever, no excuse at all. But I think actually with the medicinal marijuana, with the taxes, that would help. Those are the types of things, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, that it would actually help with infrastructure, schools, medical, things like that. And so things that would make a difference in people's lives as a whole.
So why do you think like so many municipalities are still fighting it, fighting legalizing like marijuana?
Oh, you're talking about
because
the
of
city?
Because of the economic impact.
They might not understand the you have a lot of old school thinking, and they just don't know. Like you said, ignorance. They just don't know, or you're not open to learning. And because I know about science, I see. I also, once I started to research about, I was like, wow, this is the science behind it. And then learning all the potential that's left on the table with the cannabis plant, it's just mind boggling. It's like you're only tapping into a tenth of the potential.
Right.
I mean, I think it's a controlled thing. I think a lot of, I think the plant as a whole has a disruptive property to a lot of practices that are in place right now. Just like
pain management.
I mean,
it's going to mess up the pharmaceutical.
So many from the industrial up to food, you know, clothing, textiles. It kind of dips into like all the industries, and these were kind of industries that were built around oil. They're like petrol-based industries, like petroleum, oil came in a bunch of different ways.
Kerosene.
Like plastic, polyester.
Right.
You know, to push those products, you had to kind of devalue natural, organic products.
Mm-hmm.
So, there, you know, here comes the cocoa butter is bad. You know, butters are bad. Go for the petroleum jelly. Go for
the, fats are bad.
You know, like, cotton, fats. You know what I'm saying? Facts are inconvenient. You know what I'm saying? Let's deal with the more pleasurable lie.
Right.
You know, even though it isn't true. You know, and that was the idea. And you see everything is being rolled back now.
Alternatives.
Now it's being rolled back and given back to you more expensive.
Right.
The stuff that we told you was bad a second ago was actually really great for you. And now you have to pay three times as much for it. So it's only right that, all right, now we're gradually giving way to marijuana because we always knew that, you know, it had an enormous potential to actually be used in a whole bunch of different ways. But we wanted to build these other businesses on this old ass idea. And now that it's coming to a halt, we need to control the new wave. So I feel like
you pretty much got it right there.
It's like, yo, you know, you can see it like kind of slowly trickling down. So we're going to be getting weed from Monsanto in a minute. And like they're going to be the only ones that can give it to us. But you know, you got to think about what else that's going to turn into if they control the whole plant.
Right. But that's why people was like, well, if you legalize it, it's going to shut down all the illegal stuff. It's not, because legalizing it just, you know, you can't sell cigarettes on the street, singles, like in New York.
Right.
You'll get choked out.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's not like it's going to stop the other things from happening, but it also gives a chance to create new wealth, you know what I'm saying? But they want that wealth. I don't know if they want us to have that wealth.
I really think they're bracing themselves for what the pill industry is going to lose in the exchange, you know, because it's like you think about how much is invested. Just look at the commercials for pills. Like they spend more.
Cialis.
It's an endless list.
All of
it's an endless list of pills. And the majority of things that they're treating can actually be treated naturally with CBDs that don't even have euphoriating properties. It's not even like you're getting high. It's straight medicinal. And then you have the other indicas and sativas that are going to treat these other things And now they don't need all the pills anymore that lead to more addictions. And all you're going to do is just smoke more weed. So they're bracing themselves for that because that's coming. With healthcare, with people having to think, be more conscious and upfront with their healthcare decisions, I can either spend $6,000 this month on pills, or I could buy a pound of weed, or I could get a card and get the weed for next to nothing.
Or there's oils or the CBDs, all that, you know, all that stuff.
I mean, but, and I don't want to cut in because this leads right into it. Georgia is hella red, you know what I'm saying? And I think that they're very stern on this topic, even though they have mountains here like Humboldt County. And it seems like a great place to actually supply the East Coast. You know, if you was going to talk about a grower hub, as far as like having all this space, do you think they will ever, like,
recreationally legalize it, or just?
I mean, even just roll in any direction towards it, because everybody I've spoken to said, "Hell no, never."
No. That's not true. We're they actually are in about to go to session to vote on. I can't speak on recreational, but as far as medicinal growth and dispensary and a few things in between, I'm not sure what all the verbiage, the new verbiage is. I did see a preview of what the bill is. What they worked on initially, but they worked on a bill, and we don't know what components are coming from which piece or whatever, but they put together some things and they are going to vote on medicinal and medicinal cannabis for growing and dispensing. So yes, eventually I believe they will. It's a process, and you need to stay on. If you're interested in getting into the industry, don't. If you really are, you need to be a part of being on the advocate side and not the negative Nancy's, and just kind of like looking at what it is and what it's always been. You have to be a part of the change if you want to solve a problem, right, and just not complaining. And so you rally together in a professional, peaceful manner, and you present your case. I had the opportunity to speak to the council that was writing that bill. I spoke up on the scientific community because of I know that that's what would legitimize it and to as a whole across the on the national level, but starting here in Georgia, so we're not last on the list, or just making sure that public safety is number one.
Yeah, but we're dealing with administration right now that doesn't believe in science.
Well, that may or may not be true. Stay away from that. But yes, but as far as he did sign the, I call it the hemp bill, but it's not the hemp bill. It's actually the farm bill, right. And he signed it very quickly back in December 20-something. But he signed that, and what that did was it opened up Georgia, because we are an agricultural state.
Right.
Prime location, prime opportunities for farmers to to help the land that they've been, you know, growing. It's just such an amazing plant.
And it also creates a lot of what they call opportunity zones right now, too.
Yes, lots of jobs and just income and just economic growth and development. I think it's going to do really great things. Hemp, which was in that bill, actually is, you can make over 25,000 different products.
Right.
Pretty astounding.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what you were talking about just a moment ago.
As far as like the fiber itself, once you break it down.
You sure can. The root.
Mm-hmm. Softer than cotton,
it's
too.
It's in direct competition with plastic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay, but.
Plastic, cotton, a lot of stuff.
It is. And it's like, it creates a material that's 10 times stronger than steel. And some of the first two Model Fords were run off of hemp ethanol, as well as they utilize some of the materials within the car. So, but you know what happened with that. But the good news is we can't live in the past, or if we're going to move forward, can't drive. I mean, looking in the rearview mirror, if you're going to go forward. So, okay. So we look at what it is now. this is what it is now, and make a plan of action to come together to educate ourselves on different opportunities. And just because somebody tells you no today doesn't mean, it's like, have you ever heard called customer service and you're like talking to them, trying to get your issue resolved? And you'd be like, look, after you talk to them for a minute, you can be like, they can't tell me yes
or no.
So, right. And they don't really have the authority to override anything other than what it is. And so you ask to speak to someone higher up. And so you just kind of go through the process of trying to figure out where you fit in until you get the answer that you need, you know. And so even if it's not in a particular place or space, you can find your way into this industry in a legal manner and just to do it the right way.
Right.
And so don't just accept what's like, oh, they're not going to legalize it, but if they do, I'm going to get in. No, be a part of the solution. Right. So I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's part of the reason why y'all having that the hemp and medical marijuana convention. Yes,
absolutely.
So tell us about that, how it started.
Okay. Well, just on the side of the science, I'm a part of a nonprofit organization where I volunteer for diversity committee as well as the program committee. And on my way home, I really wasn't really thinking about it, but I thought, why don't I just have a conference here in Georgia? I didn't know if it was legal, if you could actually do that or anything like that, but I called one of the cannabis attorneys, and she told me, she was like, yeah, I just came for one. It was a small scale one. But she was like, yes. So once I got the go ahead, the other thing I had to do is I was like, well, I don't know. It's kind of like a conflict. Should I really advocate like that? You know, it was like an internal struggle for myself. But what I had to do is be settled, because it is such a taboo subject around a lot of issues of people, different demographics or whatever, or your faith base or whatever. And I had to be resolute on what I felt like God was telling me to do. Right. And so once I got that piece, I was like, nope, because I believe he wanted me to have that, because it is such a, you know, kind of like, I know there are other people out there. Right. And I just want to be a part of the solution. I want to help. I want to be a blessing to people and just, you know, just make sure that it's done right and just, just develop other things that could tap into the potential that it actually has.
So when you decided that you were going to go forward with it, like, mm-hmm. what were your next steps?
Well, I started looking to check the temperature of like, okay, wow, Georgia's not even legal. So that was another thing, issue in my mind. I was like, who's going to come here? You know, vendors, because we're going to have vendors. They have informational sessions all the time. Here and there or whatever, but the expo component, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, that people will be interested in coming. I thought, like, well, they're going to have, I mean, hemp is coming, you know, it's eventually but because we're in the Southeast, I wanted us to have something to build on. You know, Florida is legal and you can actually do it in Florida. So it was more of a just getting people educated and to get people out of the mindset of, oh, yeah, I want to have a dispensary. I just want to grow. There are more things to do. There are a ton of things to do. It's like so many ways to get into the industry. And I just want to educate people on how to do that and just present them with, you know, the network, the information, just expose them to, you know, like exposure is everything.
Right.
And so I just really wanted to, that was did I answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
In reality, so this is primarily an informational convention.
All of them are informational.
I'm saying, like, because I would assume that you only have to encounter legalities if you actually have some products on
THC. That's a lot of them. Even the states that you have,
you still can't. You have to be. You have to actually distribute those out of a licensed facility.
Or
you just straight up.
Not, you can't do it on their premises. They just don't even have it. You'll see it in the fine print. Even in Las Vegas, I've seen conferences like, nope, we're not doing that here.
my question is, what type of sponsors did you target? And then what type of vendors?
I'm targeting every one of them. I want to have, we have some from all aspects. You just might can't bring your product, but you know that they're, but because of, the hemp bill that just passed, a lot of things may change as far as like what would be allowed. So we never know. We don't know. They might be able to bring actual product, but we'll see that in, you know, at the end of the session, or probably closer to my convention, but we'll see.
Did the hemp bill pass before or after you started planning?
I started planning back in late August. and let's see. So no, it didn't. I had a forethought of what it was going to be. I'm kind of like a problem solver. Just like when you're event planning, you have to think about
things. Yeah, you got to think about those things ahead of time.
And I'm also with the medicinal, and actually the driving force really seriously was my niece. I got all my hair cut off. And it was used to be really long, and get it all blown out and stuff. But I she was going through her healing with cancer, or chemo, actually. Mm-hmm. She was going through her journey, and she got her hair cut, and she was taking all of these pills, Percocet, Oxycontin, or fentanyl, stuff like that, the doctors prescribed for the, you know, the effects of the chemo.
Right.
And she, but anyway, we talked or whatever, and she eventually tried the cannabis. She didn't really want to do that, but she did. She finally did. And come to find out, it replaced 5 different medications. 5.
Right.
Yes.
From one.
From to to just cannabis.
And that's probably why there's a lot of people, like a lot of pharmaceutical companies, is lobbying against making it legal on the national
level. Right, and not just pain management, but just also it took the nausea down to where you actually can function, and you're not having to take the medicine and go to sleep and just kind of be incapacitated all day, or just stay in the bed after your chemo sessions or whatever. But it's just, it's pretty amazing. And one of my sisters said what she was telling me. She was doing, I forgot the medication, might have been, but it was some type of medicine she was taking for her back. And she did, she took some, I don't know, it was just, I think it was a CBD oil with a, you know, it's infusion or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was like a mint or something. And she took that, and she started walking straight and everything. It was like, also we're going to showcase at the convention, patient testimonies. We're going to show blast those and, you know, all throughout different locations in the facility, as well as, maybe have a couple of his speakers. I spoke to a gentleman, just an amazing testimony on his journey after chemo, and he had lost all his taste buds and some other things done with his digestive tract. And hemp, he did an oil with some type of rinse in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
He said everything tasted the same, everything, but it restored all of that.
Right. I mean, the medicines you mentioned in your sister's case all habit forming.
Yep, like, and she didn't. And that's why she didn't want it.
Mm-hmm. Right? So this combination of you know, the normalcy you accept when you're under this is actually not the normal that you normally are. It's just kind of better than how you were just feeling. And that's about as far as it goes. You have to get used to how you're going to feel from here on out.
And that was one of the reasons she was trying to get her doctors to, you know, go along with, you know, something else, just something different. She didn't want those habit-forming, you know, drugs or whatever. So, yeah.
I mean, and that's part of the problem as far as, like, them not wanting to relent. Is the
they don't want to try the alternative. Some of them are closed to it. Some of them are open, though. Surprisingly enough, it's becoming more common than we think.
That the opening of the mind is this idea that it might actually be a lot cheaper to grow marijuana than it is to produce these pills. So in a business sense, when you stop and think about it, it's like we, you know, as the corporation might actually be overextending ourselves to sell these type of pills, hoping that we get them addicted and they keep coming back to it. But we have to keep making these expensive pills.
Right.
You know, so it's like, you know, you're killing yourself in the process of trying to kill somebody else. It's like actually easier to do this, and, you know, they'll live longer.
Because, I mean, in business, this is about expanding your profits and lowering your expenses.
All the time.
You know what I'm saying? So, it would just be common sense for a business to do that.
Yeah, logical. It's like, I sell so many little pills versus how many different products can I make from this one plant?
Right.
It's like, I got it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It's like out of the cannabinoid profile, over 115 cannabinoids, with THC being one of them. They're only profiling like 15 of them on a regular. That's a pretty extensive list. Between 10 and 15, you'll get maybe on your C of A, your certificate of analysis telling you what's exactly the percentages and levels that are in your medicine or whatever. And so, but there's like over 100 more that you can actually tap into or maximize on the extraction level to, or how you grow or the process. And so it's going to be really good or really interesting to the research and development and discovery of those other compounds and how we're able to, you know, see how they affect and, you know, on a positive note.
I don't think this has really been considered in that green future that, you know, people were talking about. It was more like lowering your eco footprint versus this idea like thinking about agriculture on the same level of importance as technology actually has to become like a mindset.
And I think hemp is going to open up that door for that. And I think that's a really good thing because you can grow. It doesn't have the THC effects, but just because it doesn't have the THC effects, the psychosomatic issue, you know, association with it, those CBDs and with other ones are phenomenal with other illnesses, preventive. It's not going to cure everything. We know that. But right. It is definitely a blessing for a lot of different illnesses. Just out of the little bit of study that I've done, over 50 diseases that it either helps or either cures. I mean, you know, with the symptoms or what have you. And it's just amazing. It's like they didn't teach me about the endocannabinoid system when I was in undergrad. And so the cannabinoids in that meets the receptors. And so it really works. That's why you're having so many successful ventures when you're using it with, you know, different with a healthy lifestyle, because you have to still maintain health, you know, do the things that you know to do to keep your health. But
It works in conjunction with what's already in you versus a drug where you're introducing something new into your system. Mm-hmm. And I think because your body produces chemicals similar to THC, similar to the CBDs, it already accepts it versus fighting against it. You know, usually when you take the pills, you know, there's something that's shutting some natural function in you down and then replacing it with some simulated.
Yeah, the synthetic versions are never really as good. I can't say that, you know, I understand where the conspiracy theory comes from, and I respect the ideal of it, but I also look at it from a scientific perspective. They're just really trying to help people sometimes, you know. It's like, oh wow, it stopped, it did this, you know what I'm saying? And so, but because of the other side effects that go along with it, you know, you watch those commercials and you're like,
the list is side effects.
Like, oh, it might die, but you know,
when you put the flowery intro. And all of the imagery juxtaposed next to the fast talking, low tone list of side effects that's like longer than the pitch. It's like, hold on. This is a pill that's supposed to help me with uneasiness, which isn't even really a disease. But
I might
end up with suicidal thoughts and a bloody nose. Like this can't make me feel that much better. I'm not easy with a bloody nose any day of the week, anywhere. You know, it's hard to do what you were just doing.
So the good outweighs the bad, but they're just trying to. I mean, on a business perspective, and just looking at how you your perspective of business, not capitalizing, you know, or what have you. But some people, they're just like, okay, some people are all about the bottom line and they don't really care about people. But they're just weighing their options. And so I'm not going to beat them up and I'm not even going to worry about them. I'm just going to try to do what I can on this side of the, you know, spectrum with now that cannabis is opening up, you know, to be legal to or the medicinal cannabis to be. I just want to do what I can to present. If you don't have that option and it's still a taboo subject, then you can't. It's not a choice. You still have to kind of get what's fed to you, you know? Right. I just want to give people a good choice, a safer choice, and just for them to be able to consider safer options, because I like Oreos. But you know the white stuff in the middle is not so good for me.
It's not that great,
right?
It's not
but
that great,
you know, but that's my only cookie, you know, or my options. I can't really make a good choice, you know. I can't make my own or with the gluten free or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's just choices. I just want to present people with healthier options and choices because people are going to do whatever it is they want to do.
Right.
Well, I mean, you got to think if you're educating people about, you know, CBD, you're actually doing more than they're, you know, getting with prescription medicines. Nobody's telling you anything about
it. Right, exactly. And I hope the convention is it's going to be for people for patients, obviously, if you want to learn or you're a candidate, you know, or if you have a family member, the people that have approached me, oh man, this is what my so-and-so they need or whatever. This is great. How can we go or whatever? Just getting the information because just on how to get it. But also if you're an entrepreneur, I want you to be able to, you know, get into the industry. And I think on another note, you know, a lot of people of color have been profiled or, you know, sent to jail or whatever for this very thing, but not allowed to participate on this side, you know, on the legal side. And so I really am passionate about, you know, educating young black men, anyone, I mean, anyone of color or anybody that's been marginalized in the past or, you know, wrongly targeted, you know, for the thing that other people are profiting on right now on the legal side. Right. But it's the same thing, you know. So I just want to, because you might not know, you just know that you can sell it on the street easy, but you might not know that same skill set of sales and management that person obviously has because they were probably a little to some degree successful in what they did for a while until they got caught. Right. But they didn't know that they could actually have a legitimate
business.
Right. And be, create something good for people. Right. So I just really want to educate people.
Right. Because I mean, when you think about it, like in California or Colorado,
right.
A lot of what I call support businesses,
right,
have propped up. You have businesses that, like courier businesses, that all they do is deliver people's medicine.
That,
you know what I'm saying?
That just sell nutrients.
Right.
That's it.
Right. So it as long as there's a creative thought process into it, you know what I mean? There's another sector of it. You don't have to carry it on you to the point where, you know, you might get jammed up federally.
Right.
But then you got to stop and think that it's really only illegal in one form. Like after it's like grown, you know what I'm saying? And then the seeds, you know, but like I said, the person that's selling the nutrients doesn't have to have any real licensing, like other than to sell those nutrients.
So right.
These other areas to get into, it might not be as, you know, costly to get involved with, but they're still as necessary.
Right.
So yeah, you have to obviously open your mind and eyes up to the ways that it can scale now versus when it was illegal. Things that, you know, can be considered now that you're public.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you didn't need before. You know?
Like with this right here. Mm-hmm. Somebody made this top. Somebody made this sleeve. Somebody made this cup. Somebody made the content that was in here. Mm-hmm. All different creative ideas. And even somebody, if there was writing on here, somebody created the ink, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're all different entities, but they're coming together for this one cause but somebody's only thinking about selling it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much more to this industry, like you were just saying, that you can be a part of. Somebody made the packaging for the vials or whatever. Somebody made the labels. Somebody made the trimmers. It's so many ways to get into this industry. You got stocks. You got edibles. You have a lot of
tons of things.
Yes. And so I just really want to expand people's thought process on how to do it and just expose them to a different, you know, some different opportunities.
Gotcha. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
How involved do you have the state of Georgia in this convention?
The state of Georgia? Well, we have former House representative, I think it was House, Honorable D. Dawkins. She actually served for some time. It's in her bio on our website. And she also fought our battle with breast cancer.
Okay.
And so she's a huge advocate. We have I think he was, he's not on the website yet. I'm waiting on his bio, but attorney Dunn, Wesley Dunn, as well. Let's see. We have some attorneys, as well as Mark Baker. He's the pro tem mayor of South Fulton, which he's, I think it was, he's one of the largest, minority, cities in America, I want to say, because of, the demographic, numbers, and he got it decriminalized for his county, for South Fulton. That's why you don't get a federal charge when you get,
a ticket.
You absolutely.
Like mm-hmm.
So, people like that, and, just speak, it'll, we're not done with our list, but we have over 20 speakers so far, and it'll be about, 4 educational tracks, medical, science, legislative, as well as business. And so, just want to make sure that everybody has, it's a well-rounded, on the, just, oh, and one of the attorneys that, is coming down from Colorado, his testimony actually helped, I think it was the state of Ohio, to, with their argument with, okay, well, if we legalize this, how are people going to go to work, you know, and still be using cannabis? And so whatever, what his testimony, he's going to be talking about that and, you know, solution to that problem. So, have some really, some great speakers, and some that have, either businesses or they are advocates or, and also the veterans, we're really going to focus on them as well.
Right. Cause there's a bunch of intersections there that really need to be spoken mm-hmm. about. The functional nature of people who use cannabis in secret to deal with
self-medication.
Yeah, to deal with the idea that I don't want to be on an addictive substance that I know is altering my character.
I love the fact that Joshua Latrell, he's a veteran. He's one of the speakers as well, and so he's going to his testimony. When I heard him speak to the council that was voting on the bill, he was telling them that for Veterans Day, they took a to commemorate, I think I'm saying that right, but they took a casket and veterans filled it up with pills, pill bottles, empty pill bottles from people that had died from overdoses. Mm-hmm. Did you know that 43 people die a day from opioid abuse?
Yeah.
I mean, opioid overdose.
Overdoses, mm-hmm. And that's that's a big thing in government mm-hmm. right now anyway.
Mm-hmm. So. And that's what's making them take a look at it, a second look, like, hey, people are hurting from this. It might, you know, cause a temporary, stop a temporary issue, but it's going to cause a long-term, more harmful effect.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, it's like you're taking a painkiller, but you never, put a cast on a broken bone and you're walking around with a broken leg, know, with an open wound. It's like you don't feel it getting infected.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely getting infected.
It's right. definitely getting worse or it's setting wrong and you won't know till you're gone.
Right, right. And it's unfortunate because on the veteran side there, they served their country too, and not to have the option available to them, it's just it's an injustice,
On a number of different levels.
And it takes, and not just on the health side or the life side, it also affects people's families because if right. you get addicted to that, then you're, some people, it's almost like crack cocaine. I don't want to,
It's not almost you're dealing with, a level of addiction that kind of ties into your biology. So, that's why it's so hard to kick.
And you see people that are homeless and it's so unfortunate. And it's just like it's just really sad. And I just want to help people to alleviate any issues. And you think about the, Life Griffith, he's a veteran as well. And Sean Major, you'll see him on the website as well in their story. But they're going to be speaking from the veteran's perspective. And on the side of the CTE.
Yeah, I saw that because you got Jason Allen.
Yes, Jason Allen and Turk McBride, their business partners as well. They used to play together in Tennessee, I think. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be coming from that perspective as well as their business. They're doing really well in California right now with their grow facility.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason why I asked, you know, how intimate is the state of Georgia in the process, because it ties back into the real trickle down economic effect of this line of thought, as far as like where cannabis and medical marijuana fits in the plan of growth for the United States of America. And the thing is, if you have certain places where it is illegal and scrutinized, and you have other places where it is not, those places where it is not are going to get a boost in tourism.
You're talking about the state as a whole or just different counties?
The state as a whole.
It's going to be really, really great. And I think, like we were talking earlier about all the different opportunities that's going to come from just, you know, when they legalize it eventually, but we have to take, like, people, it's like, is it going to be recreational first? And like, baby stuff.
Most places aren't recreational first.
No, they're not. It's just like you have to try. They're testing the waters. They're putting together a plan. And you just want to be a part of the process or hear the conversation. Or let them know that you actually care, and this is something that affects you and your family. And you know, I mean, don't show up with your little marijuana shirts and, you know, peace, no war kind of thing, but just be professional about it. It's nothing wrong with that style, but I'm just saying, if you want people to take you seriously, sometimes you have to do something right. That's outside of your comfort. That might be like your just thing, but just let them know that you mean business and you're about some business with this, you know.
Well, I feel like that's the strong point, because you have so many case studies to point at right now. You have places that have, you know, that have gone the route, and they can show the tax returns. They can show, like,
Colorado for one. Like, I know people go there on, like, holiday. 10 years ago, nobody was going there for vacation like that, unless you was into, like, skiing and stuff like that.
But they still had a draw for tourism.
Right.
You know, absolutely. But now
it's
that.
It's year round
to it. Mm-hmm. You know, all right, I get to ski and I get to do this, and, you know, without fear or any pressure, why am I going to Amsterdam?
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Why do I got to get my passport stamped if I can stay and it's only a certain amount of hours away? And I feel like any state that already had tourist draw, when they add this in addition, now your hotels get a boost. Now
everything, growth everywhere.
Everybody that invested in some fixed site in your state in order to have a draw now gets a boost from that, because this is the added reason for me.
That's a very good point. And I just, I'm in total agreement with that. It's going to be a good thing for everybody, I think. You know, everything in moderation, that's with everything, everything.
The universe is based on balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
Even the concept of an overdose is you're out of balance.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
The conversation starts with CBDs, because as with food, everything you take in your body should be medicinal.
Like, I shouldn't this is not coffee right now, but I shouldn't drink coffee like 5-10
times a day.
Right.
But one cup.
Right.
It's cool.
It's an all in moderation.
You need a little salt.
Mm-hmm. Iodized salt is very good for you.
You need
what's going on in your body. Yes.
Right. You need the salt to keep a charge in your body.
Absolutely.
But too much of it is now going to start to poison your blood.
Right.
So it's like you need the moderation. The only thing I don't think you can overdo is water.
You can't.
I mean, when you drown, you definitely OD.
So what's the component about the convention and everything that you really want people to key in on?
The education piece, as well as networking opportunities, those two components, and that's why we wanted to make it so diverse and for business owners, because for people who are serious about getting into the industry, if you're wanting to get started, we're going to have everything that you need available there for you to be able to network and get the information that you need to get started.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I guess this is the time where we key into or tie into what you just said. How would vendors or potential sponsors get in touch with you before it's too late?
Oh, that's a good question. Just come to check our website out, or Facebook message. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram and Twitter. And all the links are on our website. We have a weird name. Yeah. Organic Analytics.
So two separate words, right?
Yes, two separate words. And you can just go to our website or email me, call me. All our information is available.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
All right.
I'm actually looking forward to the convention because I wanted to see if I'd come out and vend. I have a number of different brands, but one brand does actually explore that intersection of agriculture and culture.
That's actually excellent.
And, you know, why we should be thinking along the lines of interweaving more living, you know, elements into our lives versus dedicating so much time to inanimate things or things that never had a life that we could identify with. So, you know, that's when I first started doing my research and I pulled up your Facebook page and I looked at the convention. I saw the list of people that you ran down. So I was like, well, these are actually look like really stand up people, you know, and they're taking, it seems like this is the same route that I think they were MPP was the organization in D.C. That started lobbying for the legalization years ago while I was still in Baltimore.
That's cool.
I had applied for a job with them while they were still in the aggressive.
Same being a part of the solution right there.
But it still took time. It still took like all the way up to right now. And it's funny that they pushed the button after they built the National Harbor, after they built another tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they were getting ready.
You know, and I think opened a couple of casinos. I think it was like two casinos up Baltimore and like towards the top of Maryland and then another casino, I think, in D.C. So here you drop all this and you go and legalize it and you can soak up on whatever you just invested. So absolutely. I feel like that business model is going to be repeated over and over again. And just like everything else, just like gentrification, the only people that get hurt by it are renters.
Right.
People that actually own a fixed lot or a fixed piece of the game can capitalize off of some type of general improvement that they didn't have to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
This is a change for the area that boosts my, you know, my stake in it.
Right.
And as long as you have a piece of that, you can get in on it. So, you know, I make clothes already. I design already. I try to educate through the garments and through the design and the thought put into it. But I also try to give the reference of solid Black business and Black businesses working in conjunction with one another for a future so that our kids can see us depending on us for something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's something wrong with that.
The whole concept of the business of Black, period.
That's, and
I love the title of your podcast.
Yeah.
in a nutshell, that's exactly what we, this is why we don't like to have such a suit and tie conversation with people as much as like to
put, organic.
Yeah, to showcase like how we think and how everything bleeds into everything, because it really shouldn't be walls in between it.
Right.
Once you start to put walls in between it, you no longer can identify with what's going on in the next room.
Right.
So, you know, you really want to stay in touch with all aspects of it, never lose touch with the people while you're doing business.
Right. It's just like bodies of water. They all flow into each other at some place. You know what I'm saying? So why do you need to put a dam or whatever in between to siphon off something and then, you know, the rest of it goes to trash. You know what I mean? It's like if people would be more, what's the word I'm looking for? If people would allow things to just flow, you know what I'm saying? I feel like there wouldn't be as much
friction
issues. Right. Issues.
Drama. So.
But yeah, so the website is Organic
Analytics.
organicanalytics.com.
That's correct. Organic Analytics. And I think what you guys are doing on a whole with the Black businesses is a really good thing. I just wanted to make sure I said that.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. And thank you so much for coming. Like, you know, sometimes the taboos of things kind of keep people at bay. Mm-hmm. But again, the holistic nature of life, period, should be, you know, celebrated. You know what I mean? And when we make everything a taboo, that's just another wall that separates us. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it gets worse when somebody convinces you something that's you is taboo. Right. And you're being kept from your highest potential. And I'm not saying that your highest potential is in, you know, CBD or recreation or marijuana. What I'm saying is,
but it's the wholeness of life. That's where you get to your highest potential.
Right. Well, I mean, that comes from understanding what's going on inside of you.
Right.
If you just accept what's being given to you, you never understand what's going on inside of you. And that's what you get when you take medicines. Like if you just take a pill and you're not really paying attention to its effects, you know, and its overall effects, not just the immediate relief, but how do you feel 2 days afterwards? Or, you know, same thing with food, what you're eating. If it tastes good on your tongue, but like, how does it make your body feel 8 hours later? How do you feel, you know, the next day, or how you feel when you look in the mirror?
Right.
It's like at some point in time, you have to realize somebody sold this to you superficially.
They sold your dream. You got it.
But substantially, it doesn't benefit you. And now you have to start to exercise discipline based on that understanding. And that's the growth that we need as a people, because we've been put in a position where we would be that permanent underclass. And the way you do that is you basically project ignorance as some destination, you know.
And I love one of our speakers, Dr. Betty Wedman. She's going to be speaking. She's a nutritionist, and she speaks. She has patients even here, but just the educational component on food and cannabis and how and May Burrell. She's got this really cool business where she makes food and infuses food or whatever. But I'm just excited. I'm excited for people, and I can't wait to be able to help people to get to where they want to go. If this is an industry that you're serious about getting into, I just wanted to make the opportunity available. And they're actually on sale. The tickets for the expo is actually on sale for half off.
Awesome.
So, but it'll only be for this week, you know, for the next, up until the 15th, I think we have. And so, just wanted to, like I said, I really, really want people, it's already very affordable. Not priced like the other conventions. I don't know if you've seen the big ones. They start out at like $400 just to get in the door, and not including any classes.
I mean, the most expensive one you got is $200, I believe.
Right.
So
that's the max price at the end. And like, because the price goes up closer you get to the convention, because you have to change things around or whatever. But I just wanted it to make it affordable, especially for us to be able to partake, because if you go to those other conventions, we're not really represented at all. Maybe 2%, maybe.
Right.
And I'm talking about on the panel as well as the people that participate.
All right.
So very important for potential hustlers of that green economy. Please come out. Get your wits up, you know what I'm saying, bro? You're understanding, enlighten yourself, arm yourself with what it takes to actually persevere in that field. Because it's something that's not being considered. You got to be able to look around the corner and see what's coming. You know there is a recession plan that is getting ready to roll out.
Yeah.
We are moving into a point in this society's history where you're going to have more people. You have actually have more people working for themselves now than ever before.
It's a freelance economy.
Lyft, Uber. I forgot there's a term for it. Right. There's an actual term for it because of the inability to get everything you need from one job or from one place.
I mean, and if I'm not going to jump into politics too much, but that's just like now. You have working for the government was thought to be a safe job.
And you just
right now, 800,000 people.
You got a check with zeros.
Right.
And you still got to go to work on Monday or you actually just quit.
Right.
And you can't even get unemployment because that's fed.
Right.
So no one's going to process your unemployment. It's like kind of, it's really, and the damage that's being done is way deeper than that. When you start talking about 401ks that are not being contributed to right now because of non-payment and like what type of penalties that,
And God forbid if you're a contractor, you're not getting paid and you're not going to get paid.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because you're
a contractor.
That far down. Like, you're not even a Fed worker. You're just paid by the Fed. So, you know, you got to get paid after them, you know? So, I mean, like, the reverberations of this, especially coming right after Christmas, was some real asshole shit that he did. And there's really no other way to put that. But the beauty of this moment is you get such a universal example of a douche that everybody kind of can recalibrate.
That's how you really feel.
They can kind of recalibrate, you know, the level of prick they want to be. Like, you know what I'm saying? We can all come to an agreement that we don't want to be like that. If we don't have anything in common, you know, if you stand in alignment with that, it's kind of hard to defend your stance. Even rich people that are profiting from that are doing it quietly. Like, I don't even want to say this is good for me because this guy is so bad at, you know, at the way he makes it look. But like I said, it's important because now we can have those conversations like, what are we going to do? Like, what are we going to do? Either that's going to be done collectively between the communities or every community is doing that individually, but they're doing it because at this point you realize I don't trust my leadership.
Right.
This isn't even leadership. Like, if you've never questioned, you know, your leadership before, now you realize, oh, it's really a puppet game going on and I need a thing for myself and I need to exercise some self-government. So conventions like this, you know, our presence at conventions like this, our insistence on creating conventions like this that recognize that we are marginalized in the mainstream, thus we have to create our own so that we can, you know, centralize the interest. It's important. Those are the steps that it takes to carve it out, because if we wait for other people to diversify theirs and, you know, make more room at the table, you know, we'll starve.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And people are perfectly all right with that.
So this is the prime opportunity to pull a seat up to the table. Like you said, I like the way you put that.
Right.
And, okay, sorry.
No, go ahead.
She's still pulling. She's still pulling from the pot. So,
No, I was just going to say, on a scientific level, I just really, you know, public safety is so important because we have a whole, like, world of people that are in the booth in the back. They are, you know, smoking or whatever, you're getting it from whomever. You don't know what's been done to it, you know. Right. And so I just think that whether it's medicinal or medical, I mean, just recreational, I think it should be safe for everybody.
Absolutely.
And to, just like our food, you don't want some of the food to be regulated and some of it not to be regulated. You want all of it to have a standard that you can somewhat trust. You don't really, that's why you still pray over food or whatever, but you just still want to make sure that there's at least a standard that's at least on a national level. Mm-hmm. That's my goal. That's my end goal, to make sure that it's, there's a good standard for safety measures to be considered in recreational and also, we're going to be doing that for hemp, too. So I have some side projects that are going on. And so don't, even though a lot of the focus is on cannabis or medical cannabis, don't sleep on the hemp, please.
Right.
And I can't say that enough, because we know that that is a go. We just don't know how it's going to roll out. But that is a go. Like, start getting prepared. Find out what you need to find out. And we're going to have, that's why our convention is focused on hemp and medical marijuana. Right. So just wanted to make sure that point was driven home.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you guys.
We're not rushing you out either. We just know that we have a propensity to let it go.
Yeah, we can go very long.
And I usually engage myself by the first time she gets up and walks out the room.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's like the indicator that we're probably going too long. If she gets up and walks out, I do realize that we the Sandman is probably going to come out.
No,
so one more time, go to the website. Again, it's organacanalytics.com. Also the same on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
You spell organic analytics again, because there was
my short name is taken, guys.
So it's organacanalytics everywhere.
And tickets are on sale until next week. So until next week. Yeah,
so get them tickets now. They're
half off. Yep.
This week. This week. So if you want to be there, get there. All right?
Business of Black.
There we are.